But first, it's the sweetest season here in New England.
Maple sugar, sugar season.
How did you want your egg?
Over easy.
And one over easy.
One over easy, and of course,
one fertilized.
One dark, robust maple syrup.
Yes.
Gallon.
No. Can I have one buckwheat pancake and a side of bacon and home fries?
Sounds great. All right, I'll get the item for you. I can take the menu sign away.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll get back with the coffee too.
Thank you so much.
It's opening day at the North Hadley Sugar Shack, and it's time for a local hero spotlight. We're here with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks, and Joe Boisvert from North Hadley Sugar Shack. How's opening day going so far?
So far, it's amazing. We're really excited. The people are coming out, and we're really looking forward to a great season.
And you'll be open all this weekend, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Friday, Saturday, and Sundays through April 7th.
So is the sap already running?
The trees are producing sap right now. We have guys out in the woods working, but we haven't harvested enough yet to start the evaporators.
Mm-hmm.
So within the next, 2 to 3 days, we should be up and boiling and hoping for a great season.
Phil, you do some backyard sugaring too, don't you?
It's so embarrassing when you're next to professionals and you admit, yes, I produce upwards of 3 gallons. But I know that's how you started, Joe, as a kid, right?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah, we started in our parents' backyard. I think I was 7 or 8. My brother was 9 or 10, 2-year difference there. And we tapped a few trees and, boiled all the branches that were falling off the trees in the yard and whatever we could to, make the maple syrup. And it's a very addictive thing we do, sugaring. I'm going to leave it at that.
That sounds seedy.
Yeah.
Wonderful, but seedy. Yeah,
the tree blood that we boil.
Well, I often think of it as like a fever that you catch right before the season. You're like, oh, am I really going to do this? It's cold. You got to drill it in. Everything you learned, do you remember? Because you're doing it once a year. And then you start, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm excited to do when I wake up in the morning.
So how did it transition from being something you and your family did in the backyard to this, which is kind of like now an institution of maple sugaring?
It's a giant complex, especially because it's not just the sugar shack. It's got the market next door, and then there are things that happen in other parts of the years.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's very addictive. So we start off with a couple buckets, and the following year we're like, we can handle a few more, and next thing you know, 25, 30 years later goes by and you just keep expanding and putting money back into the economy and growing your business, And here we are today. And it's just wonderful because it's a tradition and an experience for the people that have never sugared to come out here and, work with us or see us side by side or be right up next to the evaporators and trying the fresh product that we produce.
Do people ever come and get to see you tap?
So the tapping process, yes, if they hit it just right when we are setting the taps, because we only tap the trees once a year. So we drill a small hole about 1.5 inches into the outer layer of the trees, put the spouts, hang the buckets, or the pipeline, whatever we're, running. Once the taps are set, they stay in for the duration of the season. So some people do hit it when we're tapping just right, but most of the time it's a visit to see the sap dripping out into the buckets on those nice warm days after a cold freeze, during the maple season.
So you went from tapping a couple trees in your backyard. How many trees is the North Hadley Sugar Shack tapping now?
Yeah, we've got right around 5,000 taps that we've set.
That's it?
That's actually a little under what I was going to estimate. I thought you were going to say 6.
So it works out pretty good. For our size operation, for our evaporators and what we can handle, that number is absolutely perfect. It's a wonderful time. It's a unique experience, and it's actually the first, agricultural crop in the Commonwealth, when the trees are waking up and the sap's flowing.
How many sugar shacks are now actually still open? Because we've lost some over the years as people aged out of it.
I can't answer exactly how many. Some have dwindled away as sugar producers, have gotten older. But there's a lot of backyard producers in, Western Mass area and Eastern Mass. But there's only probably a handful of us that are open for the traditional breakfast and the hands-on agritainment, as I would call it, to see what is going on at the maple sugar farm. So I can't really answer the exact numbers, but I wish there was more, in my opinion, because it's a very, very fun and unique product we produce traditionally.
Feels very New Englandy to know that the sugar shacks are open and you can go get pancakes, that it's only for a certain amount of time, and then, you wait for the next agricultural season to come in for whatever's next.
So I think I've been coming about 30 years, Joe. But you totally renovated this space in the last 5 years through COVID. It is so beautiful. Can you share how you pulled that off?
Well, you're right. When you said 30 years, we're on 29 this season. Yeah. So right there, you just about hit the nail on the head. But as we've grown, we've also modernized some of our maple equipment, understand more of, you know, the food safety part of what we're producing, and allowing the general public to come in a safe manner to smell that sap being boiled down into syrup, to have fresh samples in a way where it's safe in today's, you know, technology world.
We know that Phil makes a whopping 3 gallons of maple syrup in his backyard.
In a good year.
I know that the math works out to something like 40 gallons of sap to each gallon of maple syrup. You've got 5,000 taps going. About how many, in a good year, gallons of maple syrup will the North Hadley Sugar Shack produce?
So we annually produce around 2,000 to 2,200 gallons of finished syrup is what we strive to produce. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that's totally up to Mother Nature, and that's the problem with this liquid gold that we produce. You know what I mean? It's nothing that we can do for a better or worse year, obviously.
Plus, you're also using reverse osmosis machines to make your sap as opposed to like more traditional machines, which is pretty cool. They're just real fancy looking.
Can you explain what reverse osmosis is to the people that might not have heard of this modern method of making maple syrup?
All right, so reverse osmosis is like a monstrous water filtration system. So basically the sap through special pumps is forced through membranes, and sugar molecules are slightly larger than water molecules. So therefore it is producing us pure water, which is our enemy. So the pure water goes one direction and it leaves behind sweeter sap. So an average tree produces about a 2% natural sugar content. Therefore, we're making up to 10 to 15% concentrate through the reverse osmosis, which saves boiling time 60 to 70% and about the same amount in our fuel costs or wood consumption.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
That's a huge, huge percentage.
Gardeners know that climate has changed over the last 25 years as we see what we can plant and grow. But you also know that, too, by when you're putting in taps and how long the season goes and when it begins.
Also by the fact that, like, you're opening and it's February 9th, and only in the past couple of years have I started thinking about maple in February.
Yeah, that's correct. It's traditionally been the month of March and in the first week or two sometimes of April, but yes, the weather has changed and is changing, and we're finding ourselves having to adapt to the climate change and be ready earlier if the weather does break to get these sap runs. Even if they're sporadic, we need to be ready so that we can still be a profitable entity making maple syrup here in Western Massachusetts.
So when you started, about when would you be tapping trees? And you're tapping trees right now, February 9th, and maybe even a little earlier, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So when I was younger, I remember the earliest was the first week of March, and I have some records of the 10th and 14th of March before we even set any taps.
So in your lifetime, it's changed by a month and a half.
That is correct, yes. And that is really scary when you think about it.
Yes!
But
very, very.
Yes, that's terrifying.
It is, but we have to adjust to it, and that's what we are doing. It's no different than the new generation of people visiting our sugar houses. They want things a little different, so we're trying to adapt. My kids said, Dad, Mom, we have to have Wi-Fi in here. I said, what is Wi-Fi? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do we have to have it? Because that's what people want. They want to get on their phones while they're waiting for pancakes and stuff. So we're learning because we have kids that are in that generation, which is great, because if we were stuck in our really, really old-fashioned ways, we wouldn't be where we were today.
We're speaking with Joe Boisvert on opening day of the North Hadley Sugar Shack, tapping 5,000 trees in and around here.
Joe, can you explain a little bit about how the technology has changed using tubing and how that helps you as a sugar maker?
Yeah, so most of our taps that we set now is on tubing, or what's called pipeline runs, which is a mountainside of sugar maples. All the trees are plumbed together like a network of tubing, and the sap flows downhill into massive collection tanks. We also now use a vacuum system. What that does is it helps the sap flow through the tubing. When Mother Nature and the barometric pressure is not ideal for a sap run, we are still getting sap runs. When we tap the trees with a normal traditional spout in a bucket, some days we have great runs, other days we don't, and that has to do with the barometric pressure. But the pipeline systems with today's new technology and brand new spouts going in the trees every year, so we have no bacteria problems, we are seeing a more consistent average run, which is helping us keep our total productions at our average, even on the roller coaster weather patterns we're seeing.
Ideal weather for sap and for sugaring is, what is it, 40s in the day and then colder at night?
That is absolutely correct. We have to go below freezing at night, and we want to warm up rapidly in the morning so that the sap's running by 8:30, 9 o'clock, no wind and sunshine.
So with this new technology, is that no longer a factor, or is that still going to make for a better run?
It still helps for a better run, but on the days when, let's say it's 38, 37, and no sun, we're still getting an okay run, where our buckets and the traditional method of doing it sometimes won't give you much at all.
Can you share a little bit about the farm store and when you opened it and what you carry? Because it's amazing.
Yeah, so we're going on our 29th season here in our sugar shack, where we boil the sap and make the syrup and do our traditional pancake breakfast. As we grew our business, we realized that people said, hey, you know, we'd like to get your products not just during maple sugaring season. So we realized and we built the North Hadley Market, which is connected to the North Hadley Sugar Shack. And now we're open 7 days a week, where you can get our maple syrup, our maple products, the maple candy, the cream. We do a lot of baked goods, the pies from the fresh fruits and vegetables off the farm. We sell the produce. We do now expand it. We've expanded into a Boar's Head Deli and a lot of local jams and jellies and items that we can't produce, but there's great people right around us that can produce these wonderful products that don't have a storefront like us, so we're able to bring their products in here, and it's a win-win for all of us.
That's what we call a local food economy.
You've also mentioned agrotainment. Can you tell us a little bit about
what? Yes, because I heard that you have goats at some point.
Oh, tell us about your agrotainment, Joe Boysvert.
So yes, the agrotainment, like we call it, it's kind of a slang way of saying, you know what I'm saying, we want to get the folks into the farm, show them what we're doing here, give them a little excitement while we try to separate them from their wallet a little bit and explain to them how hard we work so they can see our products and really have a hands-on. And hopefully they have a better sense of why local products cost a little bit more than the big chain stores, because there's a family behind it that you can actually talk to and realize how hard they work to produce what we do and what we offer.
I know in my time of maple syrup consumption, the grading system has changed, and I used to love grade B.
I'm way back to the grade C day.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
I didn't even know there was a grade C. But grade B used to be more maple-y, when the grade A, that's more highly sought after, was more sugary. What's your favorite type of maple syrup when it's coming out of the tree?
I like the darker syrup, or what you want to call the old terminology, the grade B, which is now dark robust. I love the darker syrup because it is more pronounced in the maple flavor. And honestly, let's be real, I'm a maple junkie. There's no other way to say it. You know what I mean?
This is no maple syrup Thunderdome. We are unanimous here in grade B, dark amber, maple-y flavored maple syrup.
Which we may never, there's been articles about how we may never really have it ever again.
Are we never going to get grade B again? Or
believe it or not, the answer is you're wrong. The grade B is in the dark robust category now of the new grading system. And the reason why the USDA and the Federation of Canada did away with the terminology grade B is because everybody presumed it as a lower, lesser quality syrup. In all honesty, it costs more money to produce grade B syrup than it does the grade A, the light, the amber, because it takes more gallons to one ratio. And people started realizing it was more sought after than the real golden, you know, syrup. Some of our golden syrup is so light you could read a newspaper through a jug.
Can you say anything about the Canadian cartel?
Canadian cartel. Well, listen, there's an awful lot of maple syrup produced in Canada. They hang on to it to make sure if there were to be a bad year that there's still enough maple syrup to go around for everybody. And, you know, we're all in this together. That's how I look at it. We all produce a pure product from the trees, but there's just nothing like local Massachusetts maple syrup.
I agree. Theirs comes in cans and it's weird.
Well, let's dig in.
What do you think, everybody? Phil, you had some pancakes. Khaleesi, you had pancakes and bacon. I had waffle because I feel like waffle is a better vehicle for
waffles
storage of maple syrup.
A vehicle for just storing pure cups of maple syrup.
I just made little holes of maple syrup.
But they had buckwheat pancakes. I'm not going to say no to buckwheat pancakes.
Yeah.
You know, the buckwheats were great, and that's what I had. And they just so nicely absorb the maple syrup.
Oh,
it
becomes
one with what you want to eat.
Waffles are more of a maple syrup delivery method. The waffle is extraneous.
It's an edible container.
Yeah.
You could just drink it. And that would be fine.
I did that too.
I mean, yeah. Won't you drop on by the Sugar Shack?